Hey, this is Cindy at Lauchs Landscape Supply, and it's time for our annual fall sale. That's right, it's our 6th anniversary, and we want to celebrate by saving you big bucks September 19th through the 28th on products like Dimension Pre-Emergent to stop the weeds before they start. Pick up a 50-pound bag for only $39.99. Or low mulch mix to prepare for the new lawn is only $36 a yard. Popular fir walk-on bark marked down to only $33 a yard. Even road base for the potholes will start at only $36 a yard. Need landscape weed fabric? With so many sizes available, you'll be able to buy it with our deepest discounts yet. Just need to maintain the yard? Pick up a bag of our Gold Rush Winterizer Fertilizer for only $29.99 for a 50-pound bag. Come check out our store full of tools, pond products, garden hoses, hardware, and so much more to stock up on while it's all on sale at Lauchs Landscape Supply. Check us out on the web at lauchslandscape.com. Call us at 530-378-2220. Or just come see us at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Lauchs Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
This is Jason in the House.
Well, welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. A little bit more somber today. You know, I wasn't expecting that we would be talking about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I just never thought that would happen. And then I never thought that I would be there and witness it. And I have some thoughts I'd love to share. And then what we're going to do today is a little different. We're not going to highlight the stupid. We're not going to get into the news because all consuming, at least in the Chaffetz household, is the Charlie Kirk news. And Charlie had joined me before for a podcast, and I thought it would probably be most appropriate to re-air that and allow Charlie to tell his story in his own voice. And I think that's sort of the best way to remember Charlie Kirk and the influence that he was on millions of people and what a good, decent man and human being with this beautiful family. So without getting as emotional as I was, I don't know if y'all saw it, but I was on Fox News, immediately after. And let me just kind of walk you through that without getting into too many details. But look, our family was excited that Charlie Kirk was coming to Utah. When I saw that he was going to be in Utah twice, most people, maybe they don't know this, but he was going to be there on September 10th and then 20 days later at Utah Valley University, which is in kind of near Provo, Utah, in Orem, Utah, about 30 minutes south of Salt Lake. But then he was going to come back, I think, on September 30th up at Utah State, which is the northern part of the state. So I sent him a text and said, hey, I'm really excited that you're coming to Utah twice. Would love to come see you. And then as we got a little closer, I sent him another text. And I said, Charlie, the morning of the 10th, I'm going to go out with ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, doing a ride along. You should come with me. Come do this. We can have you done and back, essentially was what I was saying, in time for his event, which was going to start at noon local time. And he wrote back, ugh, so sorry. I don't think I'm going to be able to pull that off, but, you know, thanks for the invite. And then, he said, but please do come by, come see me. And so then I wrote him another note, like, look forward to seeing you. And then when I got there, I texted him again and said, hey, I'm here. If I can see you beforehand, great. If not, I will see you after. And so I was there with family. I don't want to get into too many family details, but daughter, son-in-law, wife was parking the car coming on in. She wasn't there right at the beginning. I'd gotten there pretty early. Big crowd, you know, 2,000-3,000 people. Utah Valley University is the state's largest university. It doesn't have a football team, so you don't really hear about it, but it is the state's largest university. You got Brigham Young University just a few miles, less than 10 miles away, and that's got another 30,000 students, so a lot of students in the area. And I'd venture to say the 2,000 to 3,000 people that were there on what's called the quad at Utah Valley University, the 95%+ of them were younger than the age of 30, including my daughter and son-in-law. And Our daughter was a graduate of that university. And they were really excited to come see Charlie, right? And we all were. Charlie's a great guy. My wife and I had had a chance to interact with him several times, and just a great young man, and a spectacular wife, and he's just the most adorable kids. And so that happened, and I was actually wanting to sit in the shade, which meant I went up on the second level, kind of to Charlie's right, and or others wanted sunshine because it was a beautiful 80-degree day, you know, sun shining. It's really nice. So they sat out on the grassy area. Charlie gets the first question about religion, and he was very eloquent, and he took several iterations of the back and forth with the person who disagreed with him. He cited chapter and verse from the Bible and his belief in Jesus Christ. And he said, look, if you're trying to get me to say something negative about the LDS people, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you may remember them as, we used to call ourselves the Mormons, but now we're trying to go by the full name of the church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and focused on Christ is kind of where the church has gone in its communications, which is the right thing, and that's a whole other topic. But he said, look, I'm not here to bash on Mormons or the LDS people. I love them. I have a lot of friends that are, and it brought a big crowd. You know, before he came out, the crowd was chanting, USA, USA. And then when they saw Charlie, you know, kind of getting out of his car, but behind the scenes, he hadn't come out yet. You heard cheers of Charlie Kirk, Charlie Kirk. And it was patriotic and it was exciting. And then when he came out, he had gotten these hats, and he was throwing these white hats and these red hats all over. Crowd goes crazy for that. Takes the question about religion. And then the second questioner comes up, and the question, and I'm paraphrasing, was about transgender mass shootings. Do you know how many people, you know, trying to catch him in that? And as this dialogue and this back and forth was beginning, that's when the shot rang out. And as I sit here and talk about it, I can hear it. Like, I can hear it in my head. It was loud. You know, inevitably, you probably have seen video of this, but the buildings are largely cement, so the echoing and the acoustics are very deceptive. I initially thought that shot was really close. It ends up being, if it's the right one, we assume it is, was further than I thought. But it wasn't as if there was somebody in the crowd that stood up with a handgun and, you know, fired off some shots. It was one single shot. It was a loud shot. I've been around guns enough to know that, anyway, I was watching Charlie when this happened. So I could hear it. And then instantly I saw Charlie fall back and to his left. And, boy, at that point, you know, it's not good, to say the least, and tried to be it as calm and non-emotional as I can possibly be, but that, it was not good. The whole crowd hit the ground. The crowd screams. There were screams. And there was panic, and everybody started scattering. Most people were seated. It was sort of lawn with cement, and then 6 feet, and then there was another step up. So it was an amphitheater, almost kind, where Charlie was in the lowest position, with an awning over him, but, you know, he sits up high. It's kind of just his style, the way he sits up high with his microphone. And the speaker comes to ask a question maybe 10 feet from him. He had a personal protective detail, but, you know, that's really to push back anybody who might want to rush the stage. Certainly not designed or capable of thwarting this type of shot, obviously. And Utah Valley University had only 6 police officers there. Evidently no drone, no other surveillance or protection. People had gathered above Charlie on the second level, and they pushed them back, so there was nobody above Charlie. Pushed them off to the sides. And then that shot happened. And, you know, for me, and it's not about me, it's about Charlie, my focus turned to my family. My first call was to my wife. Saying, get out of here, get in the car, go. Just, there's been a shooting, go. And our daughter makes sure and her husband were out and about, and I followed up with another call with her. But once I knew that they were moving and safe and out, as I was exiting, I called Cash Patel. Didn't answer. You know, these are people, friends. I have their mobile phones, but, you know, middle of the day, I don't expect these guys to necessarily answer the phone. I called Cash Patel. I didn't answer. I tried to call Tom Homan. Tom Homan was, his phone instantly went to voicemail. He's had his phone off, it sounded like. And then I have the president's mobile phone. I tried calling him, but he was engaged in a meeting. And again, I don't expect people to pick up my call in the middle of the day while they're busy. And then I got in my car and got in front of a camera just as soon as possible to go on Fox. And I was very emotional. I was in shock. But I also felt a kind of a duty, responsibility, and the more I look back on it, an honor to be able to communicate something so hefty and so difficult to the millions of people watching Fox News who wanted to know what happened. And I was there. I just tried to, as best I could, describe the feeling, the emotion, the horror, and what I knew, you know, in a shocking, very fast-acting moment. And I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I did that. And, you know, since then, I've been talking with lots of law enforcement, lots of others. And before we get to this interview that I did with Charlie, just a couple other quick thoughts. I love our law enforcement. I love what they do. I love how they do it. But there always needs to be an after-action report. They do this in the military. They should do this on every major incident. And one of the things that distinguishes the United States of America from everybody else is that we are self-critical. The only way to make sure our government institutions work better is to do an after-action report. What went well? What didn't go well? What should have been done? What wasn't done? That's why if you don't fully expose what happened, then you can't ever expect to solve it, right? And unfortunately, and I can cite a lot of different examples, unfortunately, we hear and see these lessons and then we don't actually act on them and change things. One of the things that I think has to change is obviously is how we do security, how we do security for political figures, how we do campaigning. You know, we used to do lots of parades. We used to do town hall meetings, come one, come all. Those things are kind of fading away, and it's bad. It's bad for the republic. But somehow we got to still have our voice, still take our core positions. We can't live in a shell and just be scared of everything. But there's common sense things that are things that should be common sense now, having learned the lessons of several assassination attempts and some just violence. So we got to learn those lessons.
More Jason in the House next.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. We're dedicated to serving people 50 and up, like me. Our needs are different. Big Wireless wants us in an unlimited plan, but if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used. At Consumer Cellular, we're focused on affordable, reliable plans, including data that suits your needs, not ours. Our plans start at just $20, and you'll get the best customer service in the business.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Baltimore Orioles shortstop Cal Ripken Jr., the Iron Man, broke the record for most consecutive games played, 2,131. The record had been held for 56 years before that by Lou Gehrig.
Well, you know, I see myself as someone that was very lucky and had a good career, and I think that I'm pretty good. I mean, I don't put myself all the way down and not think that I've had a pretty significant career. I've enjoyed being in the presence of all the great players and this collection of players. I sat and talked to Henry Aaron a long time and really enjoyed talking to Kirk Gibson and Pete Rose. I just enjoy being in the environment. Maybe when I get older and you start to look back, you may have a historical view of your career. But right now, I just see myself as a guy that was lucky enough to play baseball for a long time.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A Halloween cold case is back in the spotlight in Placer County, California, as investigators push for answers that have escaped them for 30 years. On October 31st, Sherilyn Hockley, a 34-year-old mother of three and elementary school teacher, was found dead in her minivan just a mile from the Eureka Elementary campus where she taught. She was last seen leaving the school's Halloween celebrations Friday, October 29th. Friends say she had just purchased a home in Roseville and was excited for the next chapter of her life. A rope was found next to her body, but her vehicle remains the only known crime scene connected to the case. And despite an extensive investigation at the time, the case went unsolved. Nobody has ever been arrested for her murder. Now, 32 years later, the sheriff's cold case team says it's taking another look, armed with new DNA testing methods and modern investigative tools that weren't available in the 90s. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Fox on Tech.
Apple has new iPhones and other things for you. The Cupertino, California tech giant held its yearly product reveal and promised the world and its devoted customer base it wants to keep to ethos set by its late founder Steve Jobs, that usable tech must look good, feel good, and work well.
For us, design goes beyond just how something looks or feels. Design is also how it works. This philosophy guides everything we do.
Apple CEO Tim Cook, during the presentation, which debuted iPhone 17, along with a Pro and Pro Max version, as well as a super-thin first-of-its-kind iPhone Air, no thicker than a few credit cards. Improved Apple Watches, including Ultra 3 with satellite connectivity, and AirPods Pro 3 with live translations, allowing wearers to speak with one another in differing languages. You can order your new Apple stuff today with Fox on Tech. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
I want to go back to this interview I did with Charlie. It's self-explanatory. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. But let's hear Charlie Kirk in his own voice.
You got a fascinating story. I mean, I have more people come up to me and say, I just love Charlie. I love how you get up on it. I'm telling you, I watched, I don't know how many videos of you standing and talking to flaming liberals about the world, about history. And I just love your, come on, bring it on. You throw anything at me, I'll answer your question. And it takes some, you know, backbone to do that. Where'd you get that? Where'd that come from?
Well, you're very kind. Thank you. And I suppose we have a reputation for that now. So, yeah, I started Turning Point 10 years ago. And
why?
I've always
Why'd you start it?
It was kind of not by accident, but I just kind of stumbled into it. Originally was going to go to West Point. Didn't get in. and ended up being the best thing that never happened to me on a variety of levels. And I said, you know, I'm going to take a gap year before I enroll in college. Baylor University was my backup. And it's become a gap decade now of 10 years of building and advocating for conservative ideas on high school and college campuses across the country. And it's just grown tremendously. I've always, you know, felt convicted of my beliefs. And, you know, I realized early on that we as conservatives are definitely in the ideological and philosophical minority amongst young people. And that the way to go about persuasion is we have to go right into the fire. So I've spoke at every campus you could imagine, from Berkeley to Brown to Stanford, to a lot of Midwest schools, University of Michigan, University of Iowa. And so, yeah, I've always kind of been willing to be confrontational, yet respectful. I don't think maybe rarely you'll see me raise my voice if I really get fired up about something, but usually it's a good back and forth. Usually they're the ones raising their voice. But no, I appreciate the kind words, and our videos have been viewed hundreds of millions of times of just going to college campuses, and it's been a lot of fun. And we got some more planned for this semester.
No, I think you have been very respectful. In fact, you're usually the one saying, hey, let this mm-hmm. person ask their question. Let it fully get out, you know, without letting somebody just go on and on and on and on with, you know, giving some speech. But get to the heart of the question and then allowing you to respond, which usually puts them in this position of I just dumbfounded and not being able to keep up with you on your history. But kind of give us the sketch of little Charlie growing up. Like, what was life like? Where'd you grow up? And kind of what instilled that core conservatism that is obviously, just part of your being?
Yeah, so I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, went to Wheeling High School, gave my life to the Lord in fifth grade. Faith is a big part of my life, and always loved the country. And as I got into sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, I started to kind of come across in public school not so subtle indoctrination sessions of, oh, America's not that great of a country, and we have to radically change the capitalist system. And I clumsily tried to defend conservative ideas, but I definitely realized I have a lot of studying to do, a lot of research to do. And it was just so sad is that over the last 10 years, everything has become so political. It just wasn't that political growing up, right? You had to really kind of be attuned to it, if you will. I've always had a passion for the country and for American history. And so naturally I found, you know, these ideas to be interesting and compelling. I always loved free markets. I always loved the Constitution. I loved the American founding and all those things, I think, naturally guided me in a conservative direction. Came across Milton Friedman when I was a sophomore in high school, had a profound impact on my thinking, especially on economics. Came across some phenomenal thinkers on American history, and I became an outspoken conservative. And sophomore, junior of high school, started volunteering for local campaigns, knocked on over 100,000 doors for then Congressman Mark Kirk. You would remember that name.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
Senator Mark Kirk, unfortunately, became kind of more of a moderate than I would have liked. By the way, no relation between Congressman and Senator Kirk and I, but I got a lot of exposure to grassroots politics. I worked on Congressman Dold's campaign. That's Dold, the D, not an E, another guy.
Bob.
I think.
Yeah.
Yep. He was a good man. And again, a little more moderate than for my taste, but he was in the North Shore of Chicago in a D+7 seat and held it for quite a while and in a tough, tough race there. So that was kind of my beginning introduction to politics. And then started Turning Point USA in 2012 after not getting into West Point, just because I saw that young people, I don't think, were properly hearing the conservative message. And it's been an amazing journey since then. But yeah, I've always had a passion for this. You know, people say, hey, Charlie, you know, where did you get your start? It's just as long as I could remember, I've always cared about these things, and come from a family of a lot of very proud patriots. And so we were always talking about how beautiful a country America was, how thankful we are to be Americans, how the Lord has blessed us to live in this nation. And I believe all of that played a major role into my now activism and leadership of Turning Point USA.
So when you were a little kid, were you into sports? Were you into, I mean,
oh yeah.
What were you playing?
Well, so I always joke around where people say, you know, I'm going to follow my passion and my heart. I said, yeah, that's not a great idea. You should follow your skill that you're also passionate about, two totally different things. Because if I was following my passion, I would be a Division II football coach right now. I love football more than almost anything else in the world. I'm just not that good at it, right? I could throw a football super far. You probably saw a relief factor ad or two on that.
Yes.
I love sports. I love basketball. I love football. It's just not the thing I'm best at. It's just not. And I think it's important for people to kind of be honest with that. But I am good at talking. I'm good at speaking, good at making arguments, good at putting things together in the current news and events, and I also have a passion for that.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Fall fun is brewing in Reading. Join us for Oktoberfest at Turtle Bay's Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp, happening Saturday, October 11th from 5 to 8 p.m. Enjoy craft beer or root beer, tasty food, live music, live animal encounters, artisan booths, and more at this all-ages, family-friendly event. Children 3 and under get in for free. All proceeds benefit Turtle Bay. Oktoberfest is presented by Liquor Barn and Sasquatch Car Wash, Saturday, October 11th. Tickets are on sale now at turtlebay.org.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi there. It's a sunny reminder from Alliance Heating and Air. Thinking about going solar? Now's the time to act. The 30% federal solar tax credit may be ending December 31st, 2025. But if you install your system soon, you could still save an average of up to $12,700. Don't wait. Call Alliance Heating and Air at 530-221-2642 to lock in your savings. We make it simple. We make it smart. And that's why everybody calls us.
Everybody calls us.
Hi, friends. RC here with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Black Diamond by J.C. Newman. This exquisite-tasting cigar offers five-year aged tobaccos not found in any other cigar in the world. Made in the Dominican Republic to the highest standards of the Fuente family farms, mature notes of cedar, spice, and dark chocolate prevail. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Fox News.
This is Jason in the house.
Let's go back to the genesis of Turning Point, because it's one thing. Okay, oh, great. I didn't get into West Point. And football, yeah, that really ain't going to work out. But there had to be something where you said, this is what we need. What? How did you see that? And how did you decide? And then it takes some resources to put it together, right? So how did that all come about?
Yeah. It would not have been possible without mentors, truly. I mean, I started speaking at local Tea Party gatherings in the summer of 2011, just purely out of passion. And I reached out to a local Tea Party guy I met at a football event. Long story. We were doing a football fundraiser in Arlington Heights, and he ran the Arlington Heights Tea Party. And his name is Art Ellingson. And I reached out to him, and he was like, yeah, come speak at my Tea Party meeting. And I just kind of spoke about young people and why we got to stop borrowing all this money and debts and deficits. And I really enjoyed it. I had a super fun time. Right. I was like, wow. And then people like, hey, you're kind of good at this thing. So the intersection of passion and skill. And I had some phenomenal mentors, one of which was Bill Montgomery, 72 years old at the time, ended up being our first board member at Turning Point USA, recently passed away, unfortunately. And honestly, without mentors, I wouldn't have been able to do what we do at Turning Point USA at all. It was a group of, you know, 70, 75 year old men and women that gave us money and mentorship and support, largely from the Chicagoland area. I don't think that's a coincidence, not because of the politics, but I think Chicago over the last 40, 50 years, to a lesser extent now, have produced some of the most rugged, remarkable business stories. Right. I'm just a big fan of the Midwest and just what it produces. Not a slight at other parts of the country. I just happen to love the Midwest and kind of the culture there. And so they just believed in me. They're like, yeah, you could change the world of this organization. And mind you, Jason, I didn't have this big vision. I mean, I didn't know how to open a checking account, right? I didn't know what a debit versus a credit. I didn't know payroll. I didn't know, you know, how to do an expense report. But I got the right mentors to help me through that. But I did know how to talk. I knew how to convince. I knew how to persuade, which was definitely just kind of a natural gift I think I had, the ability to communicate, to be able to put ideas together. Some people are phenomenal writers. Other people can play the violin really well. You know, I just happened to be able to be like, hey, Charlie, riff on this for an hour. Like, okay. It just kind of comes naturally. And then you connect that with a work ethic that is definitely that Midwestern work ethic, which is once I started Turning Point USA, and I still live this out, I said, no one's going to outwork me. You might be smarter than me, might be more talented than me, but I will put more hours in than you, and that will make a difference. Because when hard work beats talent, when talent fails to work hard.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely right. And your grasp of the history and the foundation of the nation, and some of these things are they, I see some of these liberals trying to recreate or refabricate, if you will, our history and our nation and where we came from. And I think some of my favorite videos of you have been when you just said, no, let's actually talk about the foundation of this nation and what our founders were actually thinking about. And I just love it. And that comes with hard work, but it also comes with passion, right?
Yes.
You gotta, you know, focus determines reality. And if you have the passion for it, there's no reason why you can't
totally
be that person. So help me answer this question, because I get this question all the time. You know, people say in their own communities, they say, what can I do? You know, I'm just this person in this neighborhood. What can I do to make the difference? Because you have a forum, you've got a platform, you created it. I get this wonderful platform with Fox News and all that. But the average person, what can they do to make a difference in their own neighborhood?
Yeah, you always can do something, right, Jason? I mean, if I would have allowed cynicism to soak in. You're right. I was just an 18-year-old. I had no money, no connections, no idea what I was doing. I had no Twitter followers. I had no Facebook followers. I had nothing.
Right.
And by the way, Jason, I just, you know, I have a face for radio. I'm not, you know, overly funny, but I worked and I did something, right? Everybody could do this. I'd say this all the time. There's not anything exceptional except the Lord's blessing on Turning Point USA and the hours we put in and the Lord putting mentors in front of me. I'm not saying everyone is going to do this, but boy, is there something you could do. And it might not be a leadership role. It might be a following role, right? It might be you supporting the fighters. But, you know, I just want to encourage people here that are listening. What I did at Turning Point USA, you know, at the time, if I would have allowed myself to believe that what I did not matter, then the no exaggeration, tens of millions of people we've impacted, Jason, would not have been impacted, right?
Yeah.
And the hundreds of thousands of students that have come through our ranks and attended our events and been trained by us and been touched by our work, it just wouldn't have happened. And so I understand the sentiment because it could feel overwhelming, but I do think there's something special about the Americana can-do-it spirit. Maybe I was too youthfully naive to see anything different, but I'll tell you, Jason, from the beginning, there were so many naysayers. Oh, Charlie, this young thing has been done before.
Right.
What are you doing?
Pat me on the head. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, even, you know, it came in kind of a couple chapters. First, it was, come on, Charlie, you're wasting your time. And then like in 15, 16, 17, there was the establishment conservative groups that attacked us very forcefully because they realized we were getting momentum. And now, you know, that doesn't happen as much, just kind of a scale and volume. We're kind of hard to ignore in what we've been blessed to do. But yeah, look, Jason, just to say though, there were plenty of people that told me, Charlie, you're never going to make a big difference. Just go to college, get your degree, you know, go get a nice job, stop this change the world business. And praise God, I had people around me, mentors in their 70s, like, you know what? You actually can change the world. And yeah. I think that's so special about America. I don't think other countries have that sort of attitude always. I don't. And so the Turning Point USA is truly a uniquely American story.
It really is. And you're right. There are people everywhere that can tell you to think small and to go small.
Yes.
And the difference is having that vision and that opportunity, but not going for the gusto, you know, on the first drive. It's like, I don't know if you play golf, but, you know, there's a saying about if you overhit it, the ball doesn't go anywhere, right? Just a nice, smooth stroke just puts you down the fairway, gets you closer to where you want to go. And then the repetition of that and learning from it,
yes.
It's just, there's so many. Okay, so you're going along, but now you started to write books. Congratulations. I mean, you already
had a
very, very successful book. But tell us about the college scam, because you've written this new book, The College Scam, How America's Universities Are Bankrupting and Brainwashing Away the Future of America's Youth. Tell us, I kind of get the sense of how you feel about this, but tell us what we're going to learn in this book.
Yeah, my favorite interview, I think it was the Duffys. They said, Charlie, tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of in a typical Turning Point style, I just kind of get straight to the point. Nothing bothers me more than just kind of vanilla framing, especially if you have deeply held beliefs about it.
Right.
Yeah, this book is really personal to me, and it's written unlike any other book I've written before. I've written 4 books. The last one, May, it was number 1 on Amazon and a New York Times bestseller, which we were really proud of. And the president did an amazing job, and Fox really heavily promoted it, which we were super thankful for. That was called The MAGA Doctrine. But that book was completely different than this. That was a openly political book. This is not. This book is not political at all. It's cultural. And also that other book, I sought to explain Donald Trump's view to people that supported Trump,
right,
or that wanted to support Trump or what he's doing. This is about persuasion. This book, Jason, is all about trying to convince people that I know a majority of which, when they start reading the book, will not agree with me. So I thought to myself in tabulating this book, okay, I think college is a scam. I think it's a ripoff. How would I go about persuading an audience? And so where is the highest stakes persuasion game that happens in the country? The courtroom. right? The courtroom is where you have a prosecutor who obviously has a certain opinion and has facts, and then you have a jury that is unbiased, supposed to be unbiased. They listen to the facts, and they issue a verdict. And it's not the prosecutor's hands. It's then in the jury's hands. And so I go after this book as if I am the prosecutor and you, the reader, are the jury. It's a 10-count indictment, as if it's, you know, 10 different charges. All about how colleges don't educate the way you think they do. They become so obscenely rich. Universities have at taxpayers' expense. They're so overpriced. They're running a scam. Literally, I define what a scam is. And so I go through this in kind of a persuasive way. I believe it's very convincing. It has 35 pages of footnotes at the end of the book. Wow. I had to delay publication. I delayed publication a year and a half because I felt we didn't do enough research. I said, you know what? That makes sense to me, but let's go deeper. So we did FOIA requests, we did Department of Education searches. Everything is cited thoroughly because I knew my detractors were going to say, where'd you get that number from and what do you mean? And not just detractors, by the way, from the left, people from the right that still believe college is this wonderful thing. And so, you know, we go through it in great detail. We also go through the potential counter arguments, some of which are silly and baseless, some of which I think there are some legitimately good counter arguments to my argument, of which I think I respond to rather forcefully and adequately. So anyway, that's a little bit about the book. It's written for everybody. It's written for people that already agree with me. I think it will reaffirm your argument. But honestly, most people don't agree with me. Most people think college is still something that's necessary. I think it is not necessary for the vast majority of young people. I believe 80 to 85% of people that are in college should not be going to college. And I believe it's a scam. And I make the argument in the book, The College Scam. People can find it at collegescam.com.
More Jason in the House next.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. We're a different kind of wireless company dedicated to serving people 50 and up, like me. Because let's face it, our needs are different. Big wireless unlimited plans are designed for 20-somethings, not us. At Consumer Cellular, we're focused on one thing, bringing you affordable, reliable rate plans that suit your needs, not ours. How do we do that? We start by using the same towers as the big guys, the exact same towers. We then create rate plans designed for your usage. The fact is, we can offer you an unlimited plan with the same network quality for less because we understand how you use wireless services. Our plans start at just $20 a month. And forget trying to chat with robots. You'll get 100% U.S.-based award-winning customer service when you need help. Come find out how wireless should be and join the millions who've made the switch.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and EasyLink C5 for additional facts.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
The world's most premature baby born in Iowa makes the Dean's List for turning a year old this past summer. Molly and Randall Keene marked their son Nash and his miracle birth, having been born at just 21 weeks. He's nicknamed Nash Potato, and his mom was so scared he wouldn't survive since she was diagnosed with a condition that can lead to premature labor. But thanks to the doctors and nurses at Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital, Nash was given a fighting chance. Weighing at only 10 ounces and measuring under 10 10 inches long, Nash was given a breathing tube and a fighting chance. His parents say everyone at the hospital made them feel supported, and they became their family as the days were filled with uncertainty and round-the-clock care, along with risky surgery to keep him alive. But Nash prevailed, and after 189 days, the Keens went home, and he's thriving. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. We recently talked about hot summers and the importance of staying hydrated. But there's a wearable hydration monitor that could help prevent heat stroke. Researchers at the University of Texas Austin developing a non-invasive device that continuously measures hydration levels in real time and then transmits that info wirelessly to a smartphone. Study leader Professor Nanshu Liu says dehydration is a silent threat that affects millions of people every day. And the monitor empowers individuals to take proactive steps to stay healthy and perform at their best. Fox News Digital says the sensors use a method called bioimpedance, which sends a small, safe electrical current through the body via strategically placed electrodes. But like always, the best way to stay hydrated, be sure to drink plenty of fluids, especially during those summer scorchers. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
So you do believe, though, there is some room for college. I mean, right, if you're going to become an attorney, if you're going to become go to medical school, right, to become a doctor, are you opposed to that? Or what's the thesis here on some of those specifics?
So let's go through a couple numbers, right? So people that are studying what I consider to be necessary credentialed industry careers make up about 8 to 10% of all college students. So, and I totally agree. If you want to become a lawyer or a doctor or a nurse or even a high level of engineering, then yes, college is for you. Right. But the vast majority of people in college, 50 to 60% are in the humanities.
Yeah.
So theology.
A dance class or,
yes, precisely. Yes. Now let's talk about some other numbers that make people jaws drop. So 40% of people that enter college will not graduate. They drop out.
Yeah.
40%. That alone shows that we have way too many people going to college.
Right.
If a business only had a 40% success rate, a 60% success rate, whether it be a hotel, like, yeah, you know, there's a 60% chance I'll hold your room, or a restaurant, we'd be like, you're a scam. Like, what? Are you kidding me?
Right.
So that's one. And then the other on the back end, that if you graduate, which again, there's no guarantee you do, and the chances are worse than you could imagine, as I just articulated, if you graduate, 41% of people that end up graduating, they get a job, if they get a job in a career or a field that does not require a college degree. For example, you go to Arizona State University, you study North African lesbian poetry, and then you end up becoming a receptionist that didn't require a college degree in the first place.
Right.
And then on top of that, Jason, there's a lot, I think it's right between 20 to 25% on top of that of people that end up finding jobs in a different field than what they studied. For example, I studied economics and now I'm into computer science. And so yes, there is a need in our society for sure for the credentials, right? I want my brain surgeon to have learned the best possible, of course. But explain to me the 70% of people that are doing sociology or communications, gender studies, history, which is not even history degree. And I'll even say, though, that even if you're going to become a lawyer or a doctor, is that you must know, though, that you have to effectively navigate an institution that is largely rigged against you, right? And so, as I admit that, yes, we do need people at the highest competency level with the most proficiency, obviously, then are you going to be able to do it in a cost-effective way? Or are you going to be some form of a education-graduated indentured servant by the time you're 55 years old, still paying off a $200,000 student loan debt, right? Are you going to be filled with bad ideas to learn there is no beauty, goodness, and truth? So that's the other things that are also incorporated in that. So anyway, yes, I admit that for some people, college is right, but the numbers blow people away when you realize the actual small percentage of people that enter college that are actually going after things that truly do require a college degree.
Yeah, our state legislature actually in Utah is actually, there have been some real champions out there to say, hey, look, why are we funding and why are the taxpayers having to pay so much money for the degrees for nowhere? I mean, they lead to nowhere. There's no job at the That's end right. of this rainbow, and we're going to spend all this taxpayer money supplementing it. These kids are going to go into all this debt, and then there's no job for them at the end of the day.
That's right.
How do you feel about the trade schools?
A big fan. Trade schools have largely been immune to the woke idea pathogens, not all of them, but most of them. And trade schools, I differentiate from four-year college.
Right.
Now, mind you, you called it a trade school, not a college, because it actually is, right? So it's a technical difference. That's really important. We need way more trade schools. And so, for example, if you learn to code in 8 weeks, I believe you're way better prepared for the 21st century job market than going to Brown and studying, you know, lesbian dance theory, whatever it is, right? I mean, these are not exaggerations of things they study. And by the way, we have a whole chapter on the wackiest courses that would make your job.
Oh, really?
One of my favorites is how to watch television. This is one of my favorite courses that is being offered.
Oh, it's just.
But yes, of course, trade schools. So I want to be very clear. I am pro-education. That's one of the main reasons why I'm so against college, is because they're not doing their job.
Right.
And by the way, this is, you could judge a tree by the fruit it produces. So the Fortune 100 CEOs were polled of whether or not they're impressed or not impressed or very concerned about college graduates and their ability to speak and their vocabulary and their work ethic. Over 80% of these Fortune 100 CEOs said they're extremely concerned and disappointed at what these universities are creating. They said that the recent college grads have lower work ethic, they're not as prepared to go take a job, that they have to invest millions of dollars a month into new job training. So they get these college grads from maybe University of Utah or from University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and they have to spend millions of dollars training the college grads to actually do the job that college was supposed to train them to do. And so, and these are the Fortune 100 CEOs that were polled. And so you see this all together. You say, what is the value proposition here? And I believe it's shaky at best.
Yeah, no, it's so true. Like when I've talked to employers along the way and say, what do you really need? They said, gosh, we just need people that can write. It's amazing. They get through all the way through college and they can't write. Like there's and basic financial literacy. Like they can't balance a checkbook, and yet they've gone through this college degree and they get out there and they don't even know. And so it is stunning. Look, congratulations on this book. I think it's going to do so well. And, I think you're again hitting the nail on the head and you're affecting and influencing a lot of people. And you know what? You're challenging people to think through things for themselves and make their own decisions. And that's a huge value to this country. I don't expect everybody to agree with me or you, but to think it through and actually have a conservative choice and a viewpoint is really, really a great value. Can't thank you enough for what you're doing.
Thank you, Jason. God bless you. You're a great friend. Thanks so much.
All right. That's it's kind of hard. It's kind of emotional to listen to and relive with Charlie. He's a great man. I was honored to know him and spend some time with him and visit with him, laugh with him. And I'll forever hear that shot, and I'll forever see him falling back in his chair. But I hope my mind and my body will remember all the good things and all the positive messages of Charlie Kirk. I'm going to miss him. Great voice. I think his voice in some ways will be even bigger than it was, as big as it was before. And I hope so, because I think he had a message that resonated and that was right for America. I don't know that you or I agree on everything with Charlie, but he was a great American patriot who loved his country, loved his family, loved his faith, and was an American success story. And it's sad that he's gone at the age of 31. Thanks for joining us on this Jason in the House podcast. Hope you join us some more and listen to some of the other podcasts we've done and subscribe to it, rate the podcast, and then we'll be back next week with another one. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man aged 45, non-smoker, can get $1 million of coverage for $75 per month, level rate for 10 years. Or a man age 50, non-smoker, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of $110, level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At TermBusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-smoker rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Fall fun is brewing in Reading. Join us for Oktoberfest at Turtle Bay's Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp, happening Saturday, October 11th from 5 to 8 p.m. Enjoy craft beer or root beer, tasty food, live music, live animal encounters, artisan booths, and more at this all-ages, family-friendly event. Children 3 and under get in for free. All proceeds benefit Turtle Bay. Oktoberfest is presented by Liquor Barn and Sasquatch Car Wash. Saturday, October 11th. Tickets are on sale now at turtlebay.org.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Just about to begin a special memorial service for Charlie Kirk at this hour in Arizona. The slain conservative pundit and Salem Radio Network talk show host will be eulogized from President Trump on down. His widow will speak. Vice President J.D. Vance, a number of cabinet secretaries are there too. House Speaker Mike Johnson of Louisiana says the country is feeling the loss of Kirk deeply.
We have to acknowledge the emotion that's been involved. We live in unprecedented times in that, you know, an assassination, an unspeakable crime, a murder like this is covered in real time, online, where everyone, even young people, could see the images. And it's spurred on quite a mix of emotions around the country. It's shaken the nation. I think everybody can recognize that. A combination of grief and sadness, people feeling just overwhelmed by that.
The UK, Australia, and Canada have formally recognized the Palestinian state today, prompting an angry response from Israel. More countries are expected to join the list, recognizing the phantom state at the UN General Assembly this week, including France, which, like the UK, is one of the five permanent members of the Security Council. Several French mayors plan to fly Palestinian flags on town halls tomorrow, defying government orders. It's unclear how many will join the initiative after socialist leader Olivier Faure called for the flying of the flags. The Interior Ministry has warned against such displays. Serbia has staged a large-scale military parade in Belgrade, showcasing tanks, missile systems, and fighter jets in what officials describe as the country's biggest display of armed strength in its history. President Aleksandar Vučić reviewed the parade, and he says the show of force underscores his country's ability to defend its independence and sovereignty. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-226-5454. That's 800-226-5454. 800-226-5454.
An emerging TikTok deal with China would ensure that U.S. companies control the algorithm that powers the app's video feed, and Americans will hold a majority of seats on a board overseeing U.S. operations. That word comes from White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt in a Fox News interview. A central question has been whether the popular social video platform would keep its algorithm after the potential divestment of the Chinese parent company ByteDance. Congress passed legislation calling on a TikTok ban to go into effect in January. President Trump has allowed TikTok to keep operating while he negotiates. Fallout from a cyber attack that affected check-in systems at several European airports has extended to a second full day. Passengers facing dozens of canceled and delayed flights, and airport teams are scrambling to limit the damage. Starting late Friday, key airports in Brussels, London, and Berlin were hit by disruptions to electronic systems that snarled check-in. News and analysis at townhall.com. Reconstruction of the famed Notre Dame Cathedral is finally complete 6 years after a destructive fire.
The towers of Paris's Notre Dame Cathedral have reopened Friday, the famous bells ringing out loudly over the city. President Emmanuel Macron inaugurated the opening, which also marks the final stage of the cathedral's reconstruction. Now the tower tour features new spaces, such as close-up access to the bells. Notre Dame's journey from ruin to resurrection is defined by extraordinary craftsmanship, nearly $1 billion in global donations, and a collective, unyielding determination to rebuild. I'm Charles de Lesma.
Today is Sunday, September the 21st, and a number of notable people are celebrating a birthday today. Amongst them, producer Jerry Bruckheimer. He is 82 years old today. And author Stephen King turns 78. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Sue McClain from the Sue McClain News Hour on KCNR. And I want to tell you about Kevin Wall Allstate Insurance at 2861 Churn Creek Road, Sweebee. A few years ago, my daughter's car was stolen, and my first thought was, where do I begin? Well, my first call, Kevin Wall Allstate Insurance at 530-222-2306. They walked me through the process and made it so much easier. So if you're looking for insurance for your auto, home, life, or business, call Kevin Wall Allstate Insurance at 530-222-2306.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Fox News Podcasts presents the Brett Baer Podcast with Fox News Chief Political Anchor Brett Baer.
FBI Director Cash Patel facing a flurry of scrutiny from Democrats as he testified before the House Judiciary Committee. The FBI Director defending his and his department's work on multiple fronts during his second consecutive day of testimony on Capitol Hill. Here's correspondent David Spont.
I'm going to borrow your terminology and call bull on your entire career in Congress.
I'm reclaiming my time,
Director.
It's been
a disgrace to the American people.
I'm reclaiming my time.
Day two of an intense back and forth between FBI Director Cash Patel and members of Congress. A recurring theme from both sides of the aisle, the Jeffrey Epstein investigation.
Yes or no, so whether or not you met with these women who were sexually abused and raped.
Any insinuation by you or any people on your side that I am not manhunting child predators and sex traffickers, just look at the stats. And you talk about cover-ups, man.
Patel says the FBI has released all credible information thus far relating to the case. Some Republicans unfazed about Democrats' Epstein outrage.
The truth is, it's politically useful for them to try to do this now, even though they didn't give a damn about it in the past.
Patel was also asked about the Charlie Kirk assassination probe.
The roof was actually readily accessible through an exterior stairwell, so anyone could have gotten on it.
He says Discord, the platform that hosted an online chat between suspect Tyler Robinson and more than 20 others, according to authorities, is being cooperated. cooperative. The FBI director asked about the dangerous rhetoric in recent days.
There is too much political violence based on ideologies from either side.
One Republican asked Patel specifically about reported violence and threats from the left wing.
We are using legal process to follow that money, issuing subpoenas to follow that money, using grand juries to follow that money.
A 2024 study finding, quote, the number of far-right attacks continues to outpace all other types of terrorism and violent extremism, end quote, which cites data going back to 1990, was recently removed from the Justice Department website over the past few days. When asked, a source says this and multiple other studies are under review inside the DOJ. Brett.
David Spott, thanks. Let's bring in our panel. Matthew Caninetti, scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, columnist for the Free Press, Democratic campaign consultant Kevin Walling, and Mary Catherine Hamm, Fox News contributor. Mary Catherine, you look at the headlines over day two here. FBI's Kash Patel defends Charlie Kirk response as Democrats press on Epstein. FBI director grilled by House Committee on Epstein. A lot about Epstein and being embattled. What's the take from 2 days of the FBI director on the Hill?
Yeah, look, I think he's good when he talks about results like drug arrests, when he talks about the number of top 10 FBI wanted folks that they've been able to get. Less good when he's having this back and forth about Epstein. At one point he said that, you know, the judges won't let me release stuff, and that has not been the case in some of those issues. He also, I think for Democrats' part, he was very vulnerable on his conduct during the apprehension of this shooter in Utah, and the fact that he was communicating things different from what was actually the truth. You know, stop posting, get results, I think is the answer for Kash Patel in general. But they didn't go down that road. They only almost exclusively went down the Epstein road.
Matthew.
I think Epstein matters a lot to Democratic partisans. It doesn't matter, I think, to much of the country. And so the big question going into this hearing was, were some of the criticisms you saw of Director Patel on social media from people on the right going to be evident in what the Republican congressmen or senators were asking him? And that didn't happen. And so I think he emerges from these very contested hearings pretty much unscathed.
Speaking of contested hearings, the former CDC director who was fired up on Capitol Hill, take a listen to that exchange.
Secretary Kennedy told me he could not trust me. I had refused to commit to approving vaccine recommendations without evidence, fire career officials without cause, or resign.
Did he ever communicate he was going to change the childhood vaccination schedule?
He said that the childhood vaccine schedule would be changing starting in September, and I needed to be on board with it.
What are the long-term implications for the well-being of our kids and the future of our country if faith in vaccine science is undermined?
I believe preventable diseases will return.
Susan Manares, the HHS responding to that testimony today. Susan Manares was tasked with restoring the CDC to its core mission after decades of bureaucratic inertia, politicized science, and mission creep eroded its purpose and squandered public trust, and she refused to do it. That's from a spokesperson. Kevin?
Well, I mean, it was an interesting hearing in that this woman only served 29 days, we have to remember, in this position, and certainly made a lot of those headlines, Brett, to your point, in the introduction. It was, I think, important to have this hearing. Senator, I give good credit to Bill Cassidy, the chairman of the health, the Republican chairman of the health committee, for having her before the committee for this conversation. He is, ascribed himself to radical transparency when it comes to oversight of these health departments and agencies. Again, it was a lot of pontificating on both sides. Again, with some of the Bernie Sanders quotes as you just played, and Mark Wayne Mullen and things like that. Obviously, it was a made-for-TV kind of hearing.
Mary Catherine?
Yeah. I would say a MAHA adjacent mom who would really like for public health to earn back some public trust and felt quite burned by public health officials, particularly with the recommendation that the COVID vaccine should be for kids, should be mandated for sports, should be part of the schedule, when I did not believe that the evidence was there for that. On the other hand, you know, there are people who have been appointed, Vinay Prasad, Marty Makary, Jay Bhattacharya, who do give me confidence. But the fact that that Manares was hired and fired within a month doesn't give me confidence in the way this is being managed. And also, her answers about the two edge cases, which you have to talk to parents about, which is COVID for kids, Hep B for newborns, she did not have answers. When she was asked, does this help very young kids under 18, she said, it can. Well, there's not statistical evidence for that, and she needs to be straight about it. And then on the Hep B, she just simply wouldn't give an answer. And you have to answer those questions, frankly, to earn back trust.
So is this an issue for Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? I mean, is...
I think the issue of Menara's is not going to endanger RFK Jr. The question, what did she think she was getting into? He's the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Donald Trump has made it clear he's in charge of public health. Did she think the CDC was going to continue to run as a semi-autonomous agency? Well, if she thought that, I have a bridge to sell her in Brooklyn. The real question is, can we distinguish between the COVID vaccine, of which there are very legitimate questions, as Mary Catherine points out, and other vaccines like polio, measles? If we do edge out into that other territory, it becomes much more politically unstable.
In the fallout of the Charlie Kirk assassination, a number of things happened. There was a move by Nancy Mace of South Carolina to censure Ilhan Omar for what she said. The vote during this hour was 214 to 213 to table that. Four Republicans sided with Democrats, so not moving to censure or pull her from her committee assignments. And Nexstar, the owner of dozens of ABC affiliate stations across the country, said they will not air Jimmy Kimmel Live, quote, for the foreseeable future, based on his monologue in the wake of the Charlie Kirk assassination.
Well, Brett, if there are two House members that want to make this about themselves, it's Ilhan Omar and Nancy Mace. I have said across this channel, I wrote an op-ed for Fox Digital that was published yesterday. We've got to tone down the rhetoric, obviously. I think folks on the left have to understand that this is following, obviously, the brutal assassination attempts on the former president, now current president, and, of course, Charlie Kirk, who I spent a lot of time on this network debating. And David Sponge has talked about statistics in terms of these studies with right-wing fueled or left-wing fueled attacks in this country. And I think what we need to do as the left, right, as a representative of the left, is acknowledge the pain and the hurt that many on the right are feeling. And not just say, okay, well, what about the House Speaker in Minnesota as an excuse, or Paul Pelosi? These also horrific attacks on people's lives and livelihoods, but understand the pain and the hurt to try and move past the situation.
Well said, Mary Catherine.
I mean, I think Jimmy Kimmel was lying to his audience. It was quite obvious.
He essentially said it was a MAGA shooter.
Right. Yes, he's wrong. He's spreading misinformation. I'm surprised they're taking it off the air, maybe put someone else in the seat for a couple days and bench
him. This is affiliate ownership, so dozens of affiliates saying we're not going to run.
And my only concern there would be there should not be any jawboning going on from the federal government to make that happen. We can point out with more speech that Jimmy Kimmel is totally wrong about that.
Quickly, I think it's fair to expect consequences if you're lying about the assassination of Charlie Kirk or you're celebrating it.
Panel, thanks.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up. Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. We're dedicated to serving people 50 and up, like me. Our needs are different. Big Wireless wants us in an unlimited plan, but if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used. At Consumer Cellular, we're focused on affordable, reliable plans, including data that suits your needs, not ours. Our plans start at just $20, and you'll get the best customer service in the business.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I
was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson, who return as Ed and Lorraine Warren in the final chapter of The Conjuring series, Last Rites.
If there was one thing that was stronger than the demonic possessions in this franchise, it's the Warren's marriage license.
Now the added element of a daughter, played by Mia, you know, or Judy in our movie, and how she's going off to get married. That's what this movie brings to the table in terms of their relationship and their family.
Mia Tomlinson, who plays the Warren's daughter, Judy, and Ben Hardy as her fiancé, Tony.
Tony, he doesn't know about the Warrens. That's what kind of why Ed is wary of Tony entering the family, because he doesn't think he maybe understands.
Obviously, my entry point was more sort of to do with Judy. I got the absolute pleasure of meeting with her. There was one mantra that I then ended up taking with me through my character, which she used with Annabelle and the artifact room, which is, don't look at it, don't give it recognition.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Amazing acts of kindness at a restaurant in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Canada makes today's Dean's List. Stack Burger is a local favorite restaurant, and we're preparing for a huge order, including 20 Stack Burgers, 5 chicken sandwiches, 15 orders of fries, and 20 milkshakes that were all ready for a 1:30 p.m. pickup. Unfortunately, no one came for the food, and the phone number was out of service when the staff tried to follow up with the customer. They posted their disappointment on social media, but said they would be donating the order to a woman's shelter. And because one act of kindness sometimes prompts others, a person came into their restaurant and asked if they could pay for the over $400 bill that went to the shelter and remain anonymous. Stack Burger employees were so grateful, and supporters praised everyone for turning a not-so-great situation into something very special. Stack Burger, you made today's Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1970.
The student now goes to college to proclaim rather than to learn. The lessons of the past are ignored and obliterated in a contemporary antagonism known as the generation gap.
You just go through a phase of wanting to be up there, you know, in the limelight. But I'm going through a phase now where I don't want to be in the limelight.
Ali comes out to meet Frazier, but Frazier starts to retreat. If Frazier goes back an inch farther, he'll wind up in a ringside seat. Ali swings to the left, Ali swings to the right. Look at the kids carry the fight.
Everybody just gathered around, organized, and it was orderly. No kids were out of hand. They just wanted to talk. Two sacks throwing tear gas, and the kids were picking up and throwing them back at the cops. And they chased the kids over the hill. The cops were boxing those kids all around them. All of a sudden, cops got trigger happy and shot kids.
News as it happened. News as it happened.
This is Fox News Talk. Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
He says he doesn't need us. Well, Donald Trump either doesn't know how to count or doesn't understand the modicum of Senate procedure, which most Americans do. You need 60 votes, Mr. President, Donald Trump. You got 53. You need our votes. To say not to bother with us is saying you want a shutdown. Plain and simple, and the American people see that. We want a bipartisan negotiation, but Republicans don't. Donald Trump is heading America towards a shutdown by not negotiating. Thune and Johnson, listen to Trump. They are not independent actors.
Well, let's talk about the government funding fight and other topics on Capitol Hill with House Speaker Mike Johnson. Mr. Speaker, thanks for the time.
Hey, Brett, great to be with you. It's comical what Chuck Schumer just said there. Can I tell you what's really going on
here, sir.
Brett? So we've been working really hard to get the House back to the regular appropriations order, regular order, and we've achieved that. In the House, in a bipartisan fashion, they passed all 12 appropriations bills through the committee, three of them off the floor. The Senate passed three bills. Remember the old videos on Saturday mornings about how a bill becomes a law? If the House and the Senate disagree on an appropriation spending bill, they go to a conference committee to work it out. We voted to do that. All this is working well, but we're coming up on the end of the fiscal year, September 30th. So we need a few more weeks to finish this good work. So what we did in a responsible manner as Republicans in charge is we offered a totally clean short-term CR to get that job done. Chuck Schumer saw that. He returned a counteroffer that is filled with partisan wish lists and poison pills and demands. It includes, for example, Brett, what Chuck Schumer is arguing for. He wants to reinstate free health care for illegal aliens. He wants to add $500 million to prop up liberal media outlets. And he wants to add a massive $1.4 trillion spending hike to what should be a simple seven-week stopgap funding measure. We can't do that. We're not going to do it.
Yeah, I'm just a bill sitting here on Capitol Hill. I remember
right,
it well.
Right.
So with all that said, are you going to avoid a government shutdown?
Republicans are going to do the responsible thing. We will pass a CR out of the House. I suspect, sounds like, we won't have many Democrats to assist in that, and that's a really sad state of affairs.
But do you have the votes, Mr. Speaker?
I believe we have the votes to do it, yes. We'll send it over to the Senate, and I suspect they'll be able to process that. Now, Chuck Schumer is going to have to make a choice. If he wants to shut the government down, he will own the consequences of that, and everybody will be able to see exactly what's going on here.
You know, we just heard Scott Perry from Pennsylvania saying that he may have more leverage as you get closer because you can't lose that many votes here. Congressman Steve Womack from Arkansas, he's expressed some holding things up. He's an appropriator. You sure you got all the votes?
Well, look, it's always down to the wire here because we have one of the smallest margins in U.S. history. But I think at the end of the day, we'll do the right thing, keep the government open. This is the responsible thing to do, and we're going to work very hard to make sure that happens.
Are you anticipating, we're hearing that the Senate plans, should you pass the CR, the Senate plans to do a vote and then take up your CR. Do you anticipate the Senate making changes and sending it back to you?
We'll have to see. I mean, the smart thing to do would be to just pass this simple. As I said, it's very simple, very clean, as we say here. There's no extraneous matters attached, no partisan matters. We're doing this in good faith because we genuinely just need to buy a little more time for the appropriator to do their job. I can't understand how anybody could make a rational argument against that unless they're trying to use it for partisan political purposes. So
you know,
let's hope that doesn't happen.
In the wake of the Charlie Kirk assassination, there's a lot of concerns all over the place. But there is concern from a lot of lawmakers about security. There's money in that bill to enhance member security, yet members really don't feel that safe. Does money fix the problem? You all have added money for security really every year since Gabby Giffords was shot in Arizona.
We have. And look, I always want to be quick to say members of Congress are safe. They do have substantial security measures in their residence and their person. But when you have a big event like we had with the tragic shooting of our friend Charlie Kirk, it draws attention to it. And we're in a constant process of improvement, making sure that we have the latest and greatest technology and resources available. So that's the process we've been going through. We're adding additional funding and measures to ensure that everybody's safe and that they can do their job representing the people from back home. I think this is it also has an element of awareness, too. So we're doing training with members and offering every resource we possibly can to ensure that we can keep this system going.
You know, we saw in Chad's piece the members yelling about fascism, Nazi, and Third Reich. It doesn't seem like the temperature's coming down much.
Look, it's a time of high emotion. Leaders here are trying to turn the temperature down. We're working every day to do that. We do well to remember that we're all fellow Americans, and even though we can have heated debates, we shouldn't be animated by hate for people on the other side. I mean, look, Charlie Kirk showed that as well as anybody. That's his legacy. The legacy of our friend is he loved vigorous debate. He was the best at it. But he never hated anybody on the other side. He was the very first person to reach out a hand of friendship or put his arm around the shoulder of somebody who we had just disagreed with. And that's the model that we need to continue here. It's important for our system of government to operate that way.
You're right. Charlie Kirk was all about free speech and going around the country and engaging. What do you say to Democrats or folks on the left who say that there is now this effort to go after free speech on the left? You have just last night ABC suspending Jimmy Kimmel indefinitely over his remarks after Charlie Kirk's death. Then you have Democrats saying that like Adam Schiff, Kimmel, Colbert, suits against the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, 60 Minutes. They're concerned what will be left of the First Amendment when the president is done. How do you respond to that?
Well, listen, my background is in the courts. I was a federal court litigator, literally defended free speech as a career for about 20 years, religious freedom and the freedom of speech and our fundamental rights. We have to jealously guard that, you know, and I think we are. ABC is a private company. You've heard a lot of consternation about private companies firing or reprimanding employees for going online and glorifying the tragic death of a young father and young husband, and it's detestable. So in the private employer space, you have all the right in the world to have standards for your company, standards for your broadcast brand, and you know, they get to make that decision, and I don't think that's a violation of the First Amendment. You don't have a First Amendment right to stay employed if you're going to engage in that kind of crazy action online, and in many cases, it really is inciting further violence. It's a serious problem.
Ending where we began on the continuing resolution, I talked to you in December of 24, and you were working on a CR then, and I said, it's not your favorite thing. You campaigned on not doing it, and you said, yeah, well, in principle, we don't like continuing resolutions. Yet here we are again. And is this what's going to be funding the government?
No, this one is actually very different. It really is, Brett, and that's why everybody on the conservative side of the spectrum all the way across is in favor of it, because what we're doing, as I explained, is we're just buying a little more time to finish the appropriations process the way it's supposed to work. We're building that muscle memory back, and that's a really good thing for the institution. So this is just a simple, very short stopgap measure to allow us the time to do that, and I'm calling on all my Democrat colleagues to come along with us and do the right thing. This is the best way to ensure good stewardship of taxpayer dollars. We've got to do it the old-fashioned way and the way that statute says it's supposed to work. And it's like pushing a boulder uphill, Brett. I'm trying to get back to that, but we just need a little more time to do it.
Is there going to be a long night for Chad Pergram up there?
Probably so, but Chad doesn't really need sleep anyway. He's a tough guy.
All right, Mr. Speaker, we appreciate you coming on.
Thanks a lot.
Audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Mahalia Jackson, who died in 1972, is widely regarded as the first queen of gospel music. Although she was a heralded and much-loved performer, she lived a double life in racially divided America.
When I'm on the stage and on television and working with white people, they just hug me and love me and say I'm so wonderful and I'm so great. And then when I'm walking down the street like an ordinary citizen, they don't recognize me, and when I go into the department store in the South, I can't get a sandwich, I can't get a bottle of pop, I got to stand, I can't even get a cab, and I'm just a Mahalia Jackson that they got through saying how wonderful I am. I don't understand this. What makes people act like that?
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the Audio Archives of Fox News Talk. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist and host of the Janice Dean Podcast. Join me every Sunday as I focus on stories of hope and people who are truly rays of sunshine in their community and across the world. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
America's listening to Fox News. from the Fox News Podcasts Network.
This is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests to hear their take on American life, politics, and entertainment. And don't forget, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com
or wherever you download podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio.
I'm Emily Campagno, and I'm taking you inside the Idaho murders. In Moscow, Idaho, a small college town, one case so violent and heartbreaking shocked the nation. Four students were found brutally murdered in their off-campus home, prompting a cross-country search for the cold-blooded killer. The Fox True Crime Podcast presents Inside the Idaho Murders, the evidence, the manhunt, the killer, and the victims.
Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com. Every weekday, it's your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Angle, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The 39th President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, addresses the Camp David Accords between Israel and Egypt that, on March 26, 1979, led to a negotiated peace between the two nations, the first between Israel and any of its Arab neighbors.
The countrysides of both lands are free from the litter and the carnage of a wasteful war. Mothers in Egypt and Israel are not weeping today for their children fallen in senseless battle. The dedication and determination of these two world statesmen have borne fruit. Peace has come to Israel and to Egypt.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. The killing of a well-known Florida law professor, Dan Markle, has consumed state prosecutors for more than a decade. They've secured four convictions as they piece together a murder-for-hire plot involving the family of his ex-wife, and last week, his former mother-in-law became the fifth, accused of being the mastermind. A jury found 75-year-old Donna Adelson guilty of first-degree murder and other charges. On the morning of July 18, 2014, Markle was shot twice in the head at point-blank range at his Tallahassee home after bringing his kids to preschool. Prosecutors say Adelson, her son Charlie, and his former girlfriend conspired to kill Markle because he wouldn't let her daughter move to Miami with their two young sons. Charlie is serving a life sentence. His former girlfriend, also convicted along with the father of her children and a former leader of the North Miami Latin Kings gang. Donna was arrested at the airport trying to flee to Vietnam. Now she faces a life sentence. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
Joining me, Pennsylvania Senators Dave McCormick and John Fetterman. Pennsylvania, by the way, is one of only three states with a Democrat and Republican split in the U.S. Senate. Senators, thanks for being here. You all called me. Usually we reach out. You wanted to do this together. Yeah. Why?
Well, I mean, we thought it was just a great idea. I think it's an important idea right now. The trauma after the Charlie Kirk assassination, and now as things continue now, it's like I feel like it's important that people can witness, you know, a Democrat and a Republican having a conversation after this. It's absolutely horrific, and it's entirely necessary to allow people to grieve for that. I mean, everyone's seen the video, and so.
Yeah, just the heartbreak you feel for Charlie Kirk's family, Eric and their children, and all the students across the country, the people across the country that were huge followers. And I think the senator and I agreed that we do agree that there's just no place in this country for political violence. It's absolutely something. It runs counter to the very idea of free speech and freedom. and that when you see dangerous rhetoric like fascist and Nazism and authoritarianism, that's and the end of democracy, that's a permission. That takes us down a path where the inevitable next step is violence, and that's what we see.
And Senator Fetterman, you've talked about that recently, calling somebody Hitler, calling somebody Nazis.
Yeah, exactly, this idea. It's like, do not ever, ever, ever compare anyone to Hitler. If not, go online and you can read up on exactly what he's responsible for. You know, 75 to 80 million lives lost in World War II. And you don't compare him to anyone. And if you do, then you will incite somebody to say, well, now I feel like I have to stop that and take them out. People have seemed to have forgotten that the president took a shot to the head. And can you imagine if that shot would have gone the way Charlie Kirk's one, and what kind of condition our nation would be in? This is such a dangerous time right now. And now why? You don't need this an opportunity to share your opinions on it. Just, again, it's appalling, and allow folks enough space to grieve. The man hasn't even been buried yet. And it's like, that's why we wanted to have a conversation, that we have to find a way to work together.
Do you think that when you look out at some on the left, and especially the far left, in reaction to this moment, you've spoken out about that?
Well, I mean, I'm consistent about that. You know, any kinds of extreme rhetoric, left or right, is really dangerous. And now it's just Luigi had his latest thing. And now there's people on the very left on my side cheering him, and raised over $1 million for his legal fund. It's like, this coward executed a father and a businessman just because you happen to disagree with his business. Now, that's, you know, keep having these kinds of arguments. Well, guess what? The next one's going to be on you, and you'll end up on the sidewalk. Then we have to just, it's just unacceptable, and we have to just absolutely turn the heat down.
You know, you've been getting heat from some in your party, saying you've been criticizing Democrats. And we talked about this back in June. You all had this Senate Project moment at the Kennedy Institute. Take a listen.
Senator McCormick, you've come to Senate Fetterman's defense in a number of recent articles that have had questions about how he's doing, about how he's doing his job.
Of course, he did defend me through that, and he actually asked me, it's like, is it okay to defend you? I don't want that to create more political problems.
Thought it might hurt him.
Yeah, he did. And I'm like, no, I appreciate that.
We have many disagreements, but the thing we both agree on, I think, is that it's an honor to serve Pennsylvania. We want to work together to do great things together whenever we can.
So, I mean, you kind of stood up for him in the face of some of that criticism.
I feel like we are on different political sides. We disagree on many things, but we also trust one another. And when we can work together for the people of Pennsylvania, we do it. And not only do I trust him, we're friends. And just because we disagree on a lot of things doesn't mean we can't be friends. And this political violence, I feel it very deeply. I was a few feet away when President Trump was shot. Our governor in Pennsylvania had his family assaulted with an arson. I was friends with Charlie Kirk. So this hits me in a very personal way. And I guess what I would say is, there's political violence and rhetoric on both sides. But I do believe that we're seeing this trend on the fringe left, where you're using terms like Nazism, like fascism. We went to World War II to defeat Nazism and fascism. This is going to war to create those things. And we're seeing it. We see it in the survey data, YouGov. I'm sure you have that data. 25% of very liberal people surveyed said that political violence is okay to promote a political objective. It's about 3% of very conservative. And you see it in this horrible uprising of celebration, tens of thousands of people celebrating Charlie Kirk's death. So I think it's something where Senator Fetterman and I are trying to step back and say, listen, our country depends on the kind of free speech, commitment to freedom that Charlie Kirk was actually doing that day in Utah.
Yeah, and, you know, there's this talk about free speech. The Attorney General kind of walked back. She said hate speech and free free speech, and she said that it can't go to essentially anything that goes to violence is not protected by the First Amendment. Charlie Kirk on All Speech, he tweeted out in May of 24, hate speech does not exist legally in America. There's ugly speech, there's gross speech, there's evil speech, and all of it is protected by the First Amendment. Keep America free. So there is this balance of speech and where, how far you go and what you cancel or take off the table. But in our country, free speech is protected.
Well, for me, it's like, don't ever compare someone to Hitler or make an argument that, you know, someone here is an equivalent of Hitler. Or if you're going to call someone a fascist or these kinds of extreme labels. Now, you are cheapening our language and making it seem now these very specific kinds of terms. And now I get hit for just to say, like, look, you can criticize the president's, and I do, certain policies and these things. I don't disagree with these things. I vote against these things. But that does not, and I'm not going to use and engage in that kinds of extreme thing. And yes, it's free speech, but free speech, there comes a responsibility, because that could lead to some kinds of outcomes that someone can get dead and or attacked, and that's absolutely unacceptable. And that's why we want to have this conversation, because, you know, we have to work together and we have to find a way together. And Pennsylvania is the kind of state that keeps you honest on that, and you can't pretend that our neighbor and our other neighbor could have voted differently and have different values. That doesn't mean that they love our country any more than we do. We all love our country. I believe that we're all Americans, and we have to disagree. In a nice way.
What do you think spurs on this political violence? Do you think, I talked to Governor Cox from Utah, and he said social media has gone into dark places. What do you think is behind this?
If you dehumanize your adversary, if you say they're Hitler, you say it's fascism, then that lays open the possibility that, well, that's something you have to confront. That's an evil that justifies violence. So I think that's the core problem. Now, I think social media has the capacity to amplify that, so it creates an echo chamber. But I think at the core is this basic fundamental thing that is core to America. It's what Charlie Kirk said, is what the senator said, which is the ability to disagree with your adversary, but not hate them, not make them the enemy, is at the core of America. And listen, we're in a state where half the people voted for me, half didn't. We're very, very divided as a state. I get horrible things said about me on social media. So does Senator Fetterman. We got to get above that as a country. And the first step is, I think, stopping this kind of hijacking the language and inciting political violence.
You guys do work together on some things. You're opposed to each other on some different topics. You're getting ready for facing another fiscal cliff and a possible government shutdown. Is it going to...
I just put this... I spoke about this just on socials. I just dropped this idea. Like, I absolutely fully support extending the tax credits for the ACA. But I refuse absolutely to vote for anything, whether that's to shut our government down. You know, I can agree and strongly believe in something, but that it's unacceptable to hold the government, you know, opening or closing as a hostage. And I refuse to be part of it. So that's going to be where we're at. And I've been very clear on that. It would be wrong if the Republican side would do that. It'd be wrong if we would do it too. And that's our core responsibility, to have a functioning government open. And in the middle of all this chaos, that's the last thing that we need, is to shut our government down.
You think it'll work? I mean, you have one vote here.
I agree with this. I mean, the first time I sat down with him after my campaign, we had just a private conversation. He told me that. He said, I'm never going to vote to shut the government down. I don't believe in on principle. And we'll see. I think it's inappropriate. I think it's irresponsible to hold the government hostage for some policy objective that we may have very different views on. I agree with the senator on that. And so we'll have to see. But I think it's my position and the senator's that we should keep the government. And if you think about the people of Pennsylvania, that's absolutely what they want.
I mean, you clearly support each other. He's up in 28. Do you want to endorse him now?
Well, listen, here's the thing. He and I trust one another. He campaigned against me, as I would have expected him to do. And after the campaign, we sat down and got to know each other. And, you know, there's a lot of people in politics that you can't trust. He's not one of them. I trust him. I have faith in him. And we disagree on a lot of things. And that's the way it should be.
And you've been here with Senator Katie Britt. You've done other common grounds. You're reaching across the aisle.
Well, I mean, I think the last time we were here on your set, we were talking about stopping the scroll. I mean, this idea that how poisonous and damaging social media is. And now, if that impacts an adult, as it clearly seems like it has to the assassin, but now for teenagers as well, too, it's part of the ongoing thing. It's like, as you know, Katie and I said that we're not here just for senators. We're here for his parents as to, and we have three young kids, and so that's another reason why we have to work together, because we all are, you know, have families, and we've all going to be impacted by social media. And then I said that then I think it's a sewer and I think we need to address it.
Well, especially after this past week, thank you very much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hope there's more
of the Brett Baer Show coming up. The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. We're dedicated to serving people 50 and up, like me. Our needs are different. Big Wireless wants us in an unlimited plan, but if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used. At Consumer Cellular, we're focused on affordable, reliable plans, including data that suits your needs, not ours. Our plans start at just $20, and you'll get the best customer service in the business.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
I'm Emily Campagno, and I'm taking you inside the Idaho murders. In Moscow, Idaho, a small college town, one case, so violent and heartbreaking, shocked the nation. Four students were found brutally murdered in their off-campus home, prompting a cross-country search for the cold-blooded killer. The Fox True Crime Podcast presents Inside the Idaho Murders, the evidence, the manhunt, the killer, and the victims.
Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com. Every weekday, it's your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Angle, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
I'm Clay Aiken.
I am Dre DeMatteo.
Hey, everybody, it's Billy Baldwin.
Hey, everyone, it's Patricia Heaton.
Hey, everyone, I'm Nicole Polizzi.
Hey, everyone, it's Candace Bushnell.
Hey, everyone, it's Henry Golding.
Hey, everyone, it's Zachary Levi.
Hey, everybody, it's Kevin Nealon, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
Thank you for taking the quiz.
Connect to Fox News Audio and the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor, Brett Baer.
Sylvester Stallone joins me now. Sly, good to see you.
Oh, so good to see you too.
You've been in a lot of successful things. This thing has really taken off. Why do you think that this is such a success?
You know, without sounding too grandiose, it happened with Rocky and it happened with Rambo. When somehow you get the right man and the material and it comes together and it just seems to be seamless. Like, it's almost natural to be doing it. So nothing is forced.
You know, the New York Times back in 22, they said this about Tulsa King. In their day, Rocky and Rambo stood for a certain segment of American men in post-Vietnam, post-industrial era who bore the scars of violence, neglect, loss of livelihood and purpose. When it comes to mythological Hollywood heroes, not even Avengers can compete with cowboys and gangsters.
Yeah.
It seems to work.
It is. You know, I don't know what it is, but it just seems to be bad boys throughout history, Genghis Khan on, pirates, bad cowboys, outlaw men, gangsters, they all seem to tap into some part of the brain of imagination or I wish maybe I could try that and see if I could get away with it on a weekend basis. Not like being a real gangster, but there's some fascination about it. The clothes, the secrecy, the sexuality. I wanted to try something different because the gangster genre and characters have been played to the max and very, very well. But I wanted this one to have a sense of humor. So I thought, why don't you just pretend, Sly, that you are a gangster, not a bad actor, but you're a good gangster, and kind of use your sense of humor to bring about a different kind of levity to a very severe, usually, genre.
I want to ask you about the honor that President Trump is going to bestow on you. The 48th Kennedy Center Honors. You're going to be honored alongside George Strait, Kiss, Michael Crawford, Gloria Gaynor, and you. What's your thought about that as you get ready for December?
I'm kind of like baffled a little bit because, you know, but I never expected it, but to be honored for something, it's like, hey, Christmas came early. I did not expect this, and I'm really gratified, humble. I just hope I don't break down crying and shrink my tie.
It's usually quite a production, and you've seen these things.
Yes.
You never know who's going to show up on your behalf.
That's going to be it. How about, what are all those cricket sounds here?
No, there'll be lots of people. In politics, it's a sticky business, especially when it comes to Hollywood. You decided to give a speech after the president won, and it was a different tone for you. And you seemed comfortable in your skin.
Nobody in the world could have pulled off what he pulled off, so I'm in awe. When George Washington defended his country, he had no idea that he was going to change the world. Because without him, you can imagine what the world would look like. Guess what? We got the second George Washington. Congratulations!
Why did you do it?
That's a very interesting question, Brett, because I hadn't planned on doing it. It was literally a momentary thing where someone whispered, we'd like you to say a few words on the dais. I go, I have nothing, really. And I went up there, I go, okay. Usually when I try to give speeches or something, I go, you need 3 points and then something, a good kicker, and get off. So I just chose those particular subjects. And then I said, how do I finish with the big finale? Okay. George Washington never fails, that kind of a thing.
Okay.
And and you could ask my wife, it was definitely not prepared. So what you saw is very honest and it's just straight off the cuff.
Yeah. And in this time, you know, we've talked about where we are as a country. We'd like to do other pieces about entertainment and other things to take our mind off of some of the stuff that we have to deal with day to day. I mean, it's important to come together.
It's everything. It's everything. You know, obviously, I wasn't born yesterday, and the transition from when I first hit Hollywood in 74 and now is literally like another planet. And I do believe that things are cyclic, and it will come around. It's just this is the tough period. This is the dark days. But as they say, you know, the sun will rise again.
So, last thing, is this Tulsa 3 or is there a Tulsa 4?
5, 6.
It's never
ending. We're going for it, yeah. No, we're going to start Tulsa 4 around October 28th. It just feels like it's really coming together. You know, like a football team, it's like 2 or 3 seasons and now everyone's irreplaceable. So, it's really firing.
And there's a spinoff, too.
Yeah, there's a spinoff with Sam Jackson, but the most fun I'm having is with my daughter. It's like, this is unbelievable. I mean, every day, like, I can't believe it. We're actually working together. I was holding you in my arms, you know?
That's right. And then, and your wife is on the staff.
My wife is a very serious businesswoman, and besides being beautiful and kind, she is very organized. I can't fold a pair of socks. She keeps it all together and keeps my business in line. It actually makes me very alert. I couldn't function without her.
I know how that is. Well, Sly, I appreciate the time. Tulsa King 3 comes out in coming days, and it's a great, great season. Thanks, buddy.
I missed you, buddy. Bye.
Talk to you soon.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man aged 45, non-smoker, can get $1 million of coverage for $75 per month, level rate for 10 years. Or a man aged 50, non-smoker, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of $110, level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At TermBusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-smoker rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Hey, neighbor. Have you ever wondered where you can find a store that truly feels like home? Well, look no further. Grange Co-op has been community-focused since 1934, and guess what? We're not just a store. We're owned by customers just like you. Yep, that's right. It's all about community here. So why choose Grange Co-op? When you shop with us, you're not just supporting a store. You're supporting a community. Grange Co-op has what you need for your home, garden, pets, and farm. Grange Co-op, where the values of yesterday meet the needs of today.
It's that time again for the Stillwater Powwow, October 3rd through the 5th at the Reading Rodeo Grounds with free admission for all ages. It's the return of beautiful dancers, the feel of powerful drummers, all from across the nation. Learn and experience firsthand the culture of the Native American people. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 3rd through the 5th at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potter family, Reading Rancheria, Wind River Resort and Casino. This station and other proud sponsors.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.